The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ricky Gibbs from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Review section, Triangle Foodies, a blog of restaurant reviews and events in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and surrounding areas, NC Triangle Dining, a restaurant, food, and drink blog in Raleigh, Durham, Cary, and Chapel Hill, and the Triangle Food Blog, a hobby blog that helps locals keep up with the latest Triangle restaurant news. Before we get started, here is a quick reminder of what the N&O ratings mean. 5 stars are extraordinary. 4 stars are excellent. 3 stars are above average. 2 stars are average. And 1 star is fair. First, from the News and Observer, given time, Persis Indian Grill's menu and wings are taking flight. This was written by Greg Cox and published on August 16th. The Persis Indian Grill is located at 1116 Parkside Main Street in Cary. Their phone number is 919-378-1819, and their rating is 3.5 stars. The first time I ate at Persis, a few weeks after the restaurant opened last summer, I was seated towards the back of the dining room. Directly in front of me, a large poster told the history of biryani and described regional variations of India's most famous rice dish. Taking the hint, I decided to order for lunch the chicken biryani, only to be told that chicken biryani wasn't available that day. Nor was either of the two other variations listed under the biryani heading. A surprisingly modest selection, it struck me, of a dish that the poster had led me to believe was a house specialty. The entire menu, for that matter, was unusually limited, barely half the number of listings you'd typically find on the menu at an Indian restaurant. So I went for Plan B. I ordered cut mirchi for a starter, followed by lamb vindaloo and an order of naan. The mirchi was respectable, a rendition of the classic fritter, though the rings of hot green pepper inside their crisp batter casings were a little dry. The vindaloo, however, came closer to the mark, with chunks of lean, tender lamb and potatoes in a thick bronze sauce that fell a bit short of authentic spice levels, but delivered on the hallmark vinegar tang of the dish. The naan was overbaked to the point that it was cracker-like at the edges. Factor in service that was well-meaning but disjointed, and it was clear that the Persis was not yet ready for prime time. Still, the food showed flashes of promise, and the airy contemporary decor was a refreshing change from the norm. I'd give the place a few months to settle in, then I'd come back. When I returned in the spring, it was immediately obvious that the restaurant's owners hadn't been sitting idle. The Cary Persis is owned by 4 partners. Technically, the restaurant is part of a chain, but each location is run independently and has its own distinct personality. All have full-time jobs in IT, but are actively involved in running the restaurant. Managing partner Sudhakar Upayaya, a hobby photographer and painter, designed the restaurant's decor and displays some of his works near the entrance. By the time I returned with my wife, a good sport as always, who comes along in spite of my less-than-glowing report from my first solo visit, the menu had changed dramatically. Chef Malai Rajadran, a veteran of more than 15 years in restaurants from Bangalore to Detroit, had expanded the offering to include dozens of vegetarian and non-vegetarian dishes and added a broad sampling of Southern Indian and Indo-Chinese specialties. The biryani selection had doubled and now included the usual suspects from chicken, boneless or bone-in, to egg, to goat. We started with idil vadar, a popular southern Indian pairing of pale, pillowy rice cakes, idli, and donut-shaped cilantro and chili-flecked fritters, vada. Served on a banana leaf with the traditional accompaniments of sambar, an earthy lentil soup, and coconut chutney, plus a bonus of tomato chutney, the presentation was exemplary. So was another starter of shrimp vepadu, which lived up to its house specialty billing with jumbo shrimp deep-fried to a snappy turn in a translucent chili-reddened batter. So far, we were off to a great start. Would the entrees live up to the promise of the first round, though? Indeed, it would. Boneless chicken biryani, this time it was available, delivered the goods in the form of moist cubes of chicken buried beneath an avalanche of spice-fragrant, lemon-tinged basmati rice. Lamb curry could be faulted only for being a shade less spicy than I had requested. Clearly, this called for a third visit, a tiebreaker, if you will. So we returned just a few weeks ago and found the menu expanded once again. The list now ran well over 100 items, causing me to wonder whether the kitchen might have overreached. Judging by the meal that followed, I needn't have worried. Kima samosas, crispy pyramids of pastry filled with a ginger and green chili spiked hash of minced lamb, are among the best you'll find in these parts. Peanut masala is one of the recent additions to the menu, which describes the shareable starter as roasted peanuts tossed with tomato, onions, green chilies, and chef's special masala sauce, great with beer. The description is on the money, including that part about the beer. Tandoori grilled lushni wings are billed as another chef specialty. And no wonder, succulent in their char-mottled skins, flats and drums are left together in a single piece, helping to keep the meat moist in the extreme heat of the tandoor. And they arrive on a sizzling bed of peppers and onions on a cast-iron platter. Mushroom makhni, one of the 24 listings under the veg entree heading, serves up mushrooms and peas in a spice-perfumed tomato sauce reminiscent of chicken tikka masala. It is another winner. So is sag lam. Though like the curry on the previous visit, the heat level was a bit tamer than what I had asked for. More significantly, it wasn't the dish I had ordered. I had ordered Gorongu lamb, having been tantalized by a mini description of lamb meat cooked in a sauce made of red sorrel leaves known as gongura to get a tangy taste. It seems that the server may have misunderstood me, though I had pointed to the gongura lamb listed on the menu as I ordered it. Not an unforgivable mistake by any means, but it was one of a few small missteps confirming that, while service has improved, it still has a ways to go to catch up to the kitchen's impressive performance. That third visit took place on a sunny summer evening, and the sunlight was bouncing off the restaurant's tomato-red patio umbrellas and spilling through the floor-to-ceiling windows into the dining room. Filtered through a latticed partition wall, the light glinted off the iridescent wings of an enormous butterfly, one of several metal sculptures mounted among a backdrop of vertical pine boards whose staggered heights form an artful skyline spanning the wall. The scene was amply symbolic, I thought, of a restaurant that is clearly beginning to spread its wings. Again, Persis is located at 1116 Parkside Main Street in Cary, and their phone number is 919-378-1819. Our next article comes from NC Triangle Dining. It was published on August 25th and was written by Ron Wynn. First take. Hutchins Garage is now open and fixing up top-notch pizzas for Durham. Over the past several months, businesses have been booming out on Gear Street in Durham. The neighborhood hotspot, which already counts Full Steam Brewery, Motor Co., and the Accordion Club amongst its local businesses, has had several major announcements for a future arcade bar and axe-throwing entertainment place. So I was excited and surprised to hear about one new business that had snuck under my radar screen, Hutchins Garage. I had spotted a couple of quiet announcements on social media, but had no clue what it would be about besides a bar. Luckily, a visit to Durham left me with some free time on my hands, so I spun out to Gear Street to see what was going on down at the new Hutchins Garage. With only a handful of parking spaces up front, be aware that this end of Gear Street is getting pretty tough for finding a parking spot. From the front, Hutchins Garage exudes a minimalistic face with a creamy utilitarian brick storefront along with several white pane garage doors. A small doorway, possibly an old service door, to the far right is the main entryway in this small and jam-packed parking lot. There is parking on some side streets, so you may need a bit of time to find a spot and do a short walk when you visit. Stepping inside, I was amazed at how nicely redesigned the interior is at Hutchins Garage. Small dining area in front of me and a bar to the left in the first room. The building is all concrete and painted brick walls, staying true to its industrial and automotive origins. The space is sprayed in industrial green in the front room, along with fascinating blown glass lamps overhead. There's also a handful of quirky neon signs displaying "Hot" and "Pizza Made Me Do It," showing off some tongue-in-cheek humor. Some industrial signage and details, like a phone, remain in the space in homage to its past life as an automotive garage. The second room is where diners can order their pizzas for dine-in or take-out eats. Overall, it's a very comfortable space for hanging out and meeting up with friends. While Hutchins Garage is primarily categorized as a bar, its short menu of salads, pizzas, sandwiches, and more make it a destination for a quick dinner or late-night bite, open until 2 a.m. I'm curious to see how the menu may morph over time. Over the course of several visits, I had the chance to dabble across their menu a bit. I enjoyed some arancini, and of course their pizzas. While you can certainly start with the margarita pizza base and build on it, I tend to order up their custom house pies since they usually sound interesting. On a recent visit, I did a beautiful pie with ham, sausage, and Calabrian chilies, which was wonderfully spicy. But even the base margarita pizza here at Hutchins Garage is excellent, with great cheese coverage and snips of basil. At $11 for a margarita, or $4 for two toppings, $5 for three toppings, it's all pretty reasonable for a substantial individual pie. I'd say they were 14 to 15 inches, thin crust, but not Neapolitan. The pizzas here are more a traditional Italian style with a crispy crust, really delicious, and very well done. All in all, I have been pretty impressed by Hutchins Garage over the course of several visits. Great space, great food, well-trained staff, and this neighborhood in Durham was in need of some good za. The decor is fantastic and remains true to its automotive origins, and the pizzas are top-notch. So welcome to Bull City, Hutchins Garage. You're doing both the bar part and the pizza part of your business really well. So we're glad to have you in the hood. Again, Hutchins Garage is located at 402 West Gear Street in Durham, and their phone number is 984-219-6578. And since I think I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the article, I'm going to read all that again. Hutchins Garage is located at 402 West Gear Street in Durham, and their phone number is 984-219-6578. Jumping back to the News and Observer, it's a battle cry excuse me, it's a battle to the smoky barbecue finish between Southern Charred and Mavericks. This was published August 29th and written by Greg Cox. Mavericks Smokehouse and Taproom is located at 900 West Main Street in Durham, and their phone number is 919-682-8978. And Southern Charred is located at 510 Glenwood Avenue, Suite 101 in Raleigh, and their phone number is 919-758-8851. This article is written in the style of a sporting event, like a boxing match, so I'm going to read it in that style, too. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Barbecue Smackdown 2018. Tonight's event looks to be one for the ages. You've heard of the Thrilla in Manila, the Rumble in the Jungle. Well, they'll soon be talking about the Wrangle in the Triangle. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's bout pits two up-and-coming rookies trained in the new school of barbecue. These brash upstarts don't limit their repertoire to a single region's barbecue style. Instead, taking advantage of the more precise temperature control of modern hybrid smokers, they cook North Carolina pork, Texas brisket, and pretty much everything in between. They round out their offerings with appetizers unheard of in a traditional barbecue joint, an updated selection of sides, and a well-stocked bar. Their respect for tradition is obvious, but make no mistake about it, these guys are out to prove that the old ways aren't the only ways. So without further ado, let's get into the action. In this corner, setting up camp in the former Olivia's building across from Brightleaf Square in Durham, the Durham Deadeye, a.k.a. Mavericks Smokehouse and Taproom. Trainer Fergus Bradley, who also owns the James Joyce Irish Pub a few doors down, has his team in fighting form, using a gas-fired smoker with an offset firebox, burning hickory or sustainable sugar maple logs, depending on what they're cooking. And in this corner, hailing from the heart of Glenwood South in Raleigh, the Glenwood Gladiator Southern Charred, a promising rookie with smoldering hot arsenal of weapons that includes hickory, mesquite, and cherry in an electric cooker. Southern Charred is managed by the Bunch of Fives Hospitality Group, whose name fittingly is old British slang for a knuckle sandwich. And there's the opening bell. Round one, atmosphere. Mavericks comes out swinging with a rough and ready look. Salvaged wood bar, one wall plastered with old barbecue posters and the flags of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas, the holy trinity of barbecue, flying high on the other. Southern Charred counters with an urban rustic vibe and glass garage doors that open to a patio with a front row view of the nightlife action on Glenwood South. Maverick parries with an impressive patio of its own, part of which can be enclosed in inclement weather, and a second outdoor bar. Round one is too close to call. Round two, service. Both opponents play it safe this round with service that is enthusiastic and attentive with very few missteps. Round two is clearly a draw. Round three, the booze. Southern Charred pours it on early in the round with a cocktail lineup that includes a frozen orange crush cocktail and an old-fashioned with a candied bacon garnish. Mavericks responds with a back porch lemonade and a 1-2 punch of champagne and peach schnapps called Memphis Blue, with a chaser of 18 beers on tap, most of which are local brews. Not to be outdone, Southern Charred sneaks Prosecco on tap into its lineup of draft brews. This is another toss-up round, ladies and gents. Round four, starters. Mavericks gets the round off to a smoking start with Memphis-rubbed jumbo wings, homemade chili laced with bits of smoked brisket and deviled eggs topped with a spicy onion and pepper marmalade. Southern Charred retaliates with a series of similar punches, including smoked wings offered with the same sauce options as Mavericks, barbecue, buffalo, or Alabama white sauce. Deviled eggs lack the promised smoked pimento cheese punch, but Southern Chard deftly recovers from the misstep with smoked pimento cheese served hot with pork rinds and Ritz crackers. Another round that is too close to call. Looks like this is shaping up to be a fight to the finish. Round 5, ribs. Maverick's Memphis dry rub ribs look impressive, but the meat is a little dry beneath that mouth-watering charred spice crust. Southern Charred takes advantage of that misstep, scoring points with falling-off-the-bone meat glazed with a lip-smacking tangy sweet sauce. Round 5 goes to Southern Charred. Round 6, brisket. The contestants appear to be evenly matched in this round, both landing glancing blows in the form of a toothsome, respectably moist beef and a classic smoke-charred bark. Southern Charred's brisket takes the form of coarse shreds, though, while Maverick's is sliced, a more demanding and more authentically Texan representation with no place for flaws to hide. Bonus points for the hallmark smoke ring revealed by this method. Round 6 goes to Mavericks. Folks, we got a real battle on our hands. Round 7, chopped or, if you insist, pulled pork. This is the round that the hometown crowds have been waiting for, pitting these two young foes in the ancient art of North Carolina pork barbecue. Both rise to the challenge, turning out juicy, moderately smoked shreds of pork shoulder and butt, riddled with crispy bits of outside brown. Southern Charred offers both Eastern and Western North Carolina sauces to Dr. Your Q, though the thick Western style is decidedly not what aficionados would recognize as such. Maverick's Carolina sauce, a mashup of Eastern and Western styles in a squeeze bottle, strikes a happy medium that should please all but the most diehard traditionalists. As the round winds down, it looks like the edge is going to... But wait! Late in the round, Mavericks unloads a powerful blow with a whole hog brined for 24 hours and cooked low and slow out back before getting finished on a portable hog cooker on the patio. It's served only on Saturdays and Sundays, but has rocked Southern Charred back on its heels. Round 7 is a solid win for Mavericks. Round 8, other smoky fare. Looks like Southern Charred is still reeling from that last round, as a too salty smoked half chicken nearly brings it to the canvas. Smoky vinegar tanged barbecue tofu, a surprise move, helps it to a nice recovery. But then Maverick comes on with a flurry of smokehouse-made jalapeno cheddar sausage, house-cured pastrami, and a left hook out of the blue, Memphis barbecue spaghetti, a regional specialty seldom seen outside of its home turf. Score another round for Mavericks. Round 2, sides. Excuse me, this is round 9, what am I saying? Round 9, sides. Southern Charred is against the ropes now, and under-salted potato salad and coleslaw, more evidence that the kitchen needs to work on its salinity game, does not help. But then, rising to the challenge with a whirlwind of scoring punches that includes hush puppies and homemade pickles, both included with your platters, plus charred corn on the cob and garlicky green beans, Southern Charred works its way back into the center of the ring. A surprised Mavericks falters with doughy-centered hush puppies, then quickly regains its footing with collard greens, bourbon-baked beans seasoned with ham hock, and Southern Gruyere cheese mac and cheese. It's a valiant comeback effort by Southern Charred, but Mavericks is still in command. Round 10, dessert. Aware that it's now or never, Southern Charred pulls out all the stops with a first-rate banana pudding made from scratch and topped to order with crumbled vanilla wafers and freshly sliced bananas. Mavericks answers with a homemade banana pudding of its own, but it's no match for Southern Charred's version. That final round goes to Southern Charred. And the winner? But it's too little too late. The decision goes to Mavericks, though it was by no means a lopsided affair. I wouldn't be surprised if Southern Charred called for a rematch. Mavericks Smokehouse and Tap Room is located at 900 West Main Street in Durham. Their phone number is 919-682-8255. 919-687-8978. Again, that's 919-682-8978. And Southern Chard is located at 510 Glenwood Avenue, Suite 101 in Raleigh. And their phone number is 919-758-8851. And to wrap us up tonight, I have some Friday food facts from August 31st, published on the Triangle Food Blog. Under their featured restaurant news header, the folks over at North Hills announced this week that Stir, a restaurant offering premium oysters, craft cocktails with artisanal ice, and a made-from-scratch menu, will be opening in the Park District at North Hills, located on the ground floor level of the Bank of America Tower next to the Capitol Grill. Look for it to open sometime in 2019. Stir is owned and operated by Square One Holdings and has one other location in Chattanooga, Tennessee. From the events category, the 5th annual Beericana Craft Beer and Music Festival, featuring over 70 breweries, 15 food trucks, 3 great bands, and a few thousand of your closest friends, will take place on Saturday, September 8th in Holly Springs at the Sugg Farm Park. VIP time starts at noon, and general admission begins at 2 p.m. St. Anne's Church in Clayton will be hosting their 10th annual International Food Festival on September 22nd, featuring foods from 20 countries prepared by parishioners. The family-friendly event also includes live international entertainment on stage, children's games, and a silent auction. Admission and parking are both free. Hours are from 11 till 6 p.m. The folks out at Briar Chapel in Chatham County will hold the 11th annual Pepper Festival on September 23rd from 3 to 6 p.m. The annual Pepper Festival challenges approximately 50 of the state's top chefs and brewers to craft one-of-a-kind recipes using the locally grown and bred North Carolina pepper while celebrating North Carolina's chefs, cuisines, music, and culture to benefit Abundance North Carolina, a nonprofit that supports sustainable food and fuels. The second annual Sip and Savor, featuring 30 restaurants, 30 wineries, and live music, will take place at the DPAC on Sunday, October 14th from 4 to 7 p.m. The event is an exclusive opportunity to sample the Triangle's top restaurants paired with famous wineries from across the world. There will also be live music, dessert, and bubbly on the DPAC stage. A percentage of the proceeds will benefit the Interfaith Food Shuttle. And unfortunately, we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ricky Gibbs, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138.